A fascinating piece of Gemara. Gemara talks about the Doros HaRishonim and the Doros HaAcharonim. In the Doros HaAcharonim, they sought to avoid being Chayav and Meiser, legally avoiding the Chayav and Meiser, by bringing in the Peros without Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis, bringing it into the Bayis. You want to have it in the house, but not that it entered Pnei HaBayis, not they enter the house in the normal fashion, which would create a Chayav. Da'amar Rabbi Yanai, in HaTevel Mischayev B'maser, Ad sheyira'eh, or Ad sheyira'eh, Pnei HaBayis. The Tev only becomes Chayiv if there's Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis, based on the Pasuk Kisavo, Biyarta Kodesh Pnei HaBayis, Rabbi Yochanan says, a machlokis, which is within our context is a detail, you don't need Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis, you give me Re'iyas Pnei HaChatzer. If you brought it into the area, the fenced-in area, open air, fenced-in area, enclosure around the house, that also is going to be mechayev and meiser. It doesn't have to be the bayis. Practically speaking, it means that once you bring it into the chatzar, taking it through the back door isn't going to solve the problem. That's not going to solve the problem. Okay. Now, as we explored yesterday, some of the halachic background to this. Yeah, question. So Eli Dyckman asked a good question. Last day we were exploring the halachic background a little bit further, and we saw that there really seems like three relevant points in time, or three relevant events. The first event has to do with when you pick it. Did you pick it before or after the Onus HaMasros? Did you pick it when it was already ripe enough for grain that once it's more than a third grown? And I said for other fruits, the Mishnayos in the beginning of Maasros have a long list of the stage for various fruits. For vegetables, usually it's at any point, because Trilasa Ocho Vazofa Ocho. That's the first thing that has to happen for a Chiv Meiser, is it has to be picked late enough in its development that it's already ripe. It's already past the Onos HaMasros. But then the Mishnayos in Maseches Masros, beyond the fourth Mishnah, from the fifth Mishnah on, go on to list the second stage. The second stage is not a stage in the development while it's growing, but a stage in the processing, the gemar melacha, which for grain is meruach, is getting it to the point beyond disha and berira to the point and zaria to the point. Sorry, after dash and zora to the point where you have this neat pile of the grain. You even memareach, you even smooth the top surface of the pile. That's gemar melacha for grain. For fruits and vegetables, there's different stages based on how you process potatoes, and how you process tomatoes, and how you process pears, and so on and so forth. But there's a Gemara Malacha. And where does Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis fit in? If there was a Gemara Malacha, there was not a Gemara Malacha. So the Ritvah, and we said, before Mishnayos indicate, before Gemara Malacha, you can eat it Aroi, but not Kavua. After Gemara Malacha, you can't even eat it Aroi. So what's going on with this Gemara? The Gemara says, Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis. So, why would you guys pay a bias map? They did Gemar Malacha. They did Gemar Malacha. They didn't do Gemar Malacha. They didn't do Gemar Malacha. They did Gemar Malacha already. So you can't even eat it raw. You can't even feed it to the animals. You can't even have a snack. They did not yet do Gemar Malacha. Then you may have it raw, but not kavua. How did it help to avoid Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis by taking it through the back door? So the Ritvah had said, and I think this approach the most Rishonim, that it's either or. To get you to the point where all Achilas Aser is either Gemar Malacha, or Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis, or for that matter, a list of some other events that also are considered to be Koveya, albeit Midrabanan, Shabbos, or Bishul, Mekach Memker, and so on and so forth. But the Ritvah says specifically in terms of Gemar Malacha versus Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis, it's either or. Either one is enough to be Koveya at Lemaisa. That's what the Ritvah says here. It's a little more confusing what he writes in Lamehem Beis. Daf Lamed Aleph, he's even clearer. There are two ways to be koveya min haTorah, and that is either or. Either Gemar Malach, you fully process it, or you haven't yet fully processed it. You cleaned it off somewhat. It's not absolutely still mixed with the garbage. Then Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis won't even help. If it's cleaned up, although it didn't fully finish into a beautiful pile, I mean, the Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis can be an alternative to Gemar Malach in terms of being koveya lemaisa. From this point on, it's absolutely usher to eat even a single kazayis. But Eli points out, we talked about during Seder a little bit, the language of the Gemara doesn't necessarily sound that way. It sounds like no real, but the story that we're told here is there were, in the earlier generations, they would do Riyas Penei Bayis. In later generations, they didn't. What, no one was doing Gemara Malacha? The way the Ritva presents it, the way many Rishonim understand, Gemara Malacha or Riyas Penei Bayis, either one is Kaveya. So how do you make sense of the language of the Gemara doesn't sound like it? It sounds like as long as you avoid Riyas Penei Bayis, it's going to remain Mutter. So the Ritva would have to say, and does say here, that Hacha Mayaskinan, yeah, we're not talking about the things that you, the mass amounts of grain. You're a commercial, you're a farmer who's selling commercial, mass amounts of grain. You're doing Gemara Malacha. So yeah, or even for yourself, you're doing like massive amounts. Mekach is the commercial, maybe different anyways. Massive amounts in the Harami. You're doing very significant amounts in your... You're doing Meruach. Yeah, if you're doing Meruach, then this is all irrelevant. Hachamaya Skinan, you have one pear tree in the front yard, and you enjoy the course of the season. You enjoy eating the pears. There are people, the Doris HaRishonim, they were Dafka, they weren't doing Gemar Malacha. You have a couple of pears. What Gemar Malacha are you doing already? You're not doing much processing. So, in the older generations, they were Dafka bringing through the front door to Mishai, the nicer. And the more recent generations, people, in the case, there are people not doing Gemar Malacha, so they try to avoid the Chiyuv Maaser by bringing it through the back door. But it should be noted, I think I referenced this just in passing yesterday, if you look at the Rambam, which had been in the Maamar Makomos in the small font, you look at the Rambam, so he puts it differently. Instead of the way the Ritva presents, which is either or, either Gemar Malacha or Riyas Pnei Abayis, and Gemar Malacha, Riyas Pnei Abayis, Shabbos, Mekach, all basically one long list of options of Dvarim HaKovim, any one of which makes you chayiv fully in Truma Samaisus, can't even eat a kazayas. The Ram presents that there are two separate components, and you need a conjunction of both. You need to have a Dvar HaKoveya, which is Min HaTorah, Riyas Pnei Abayis, or Midrabanan, Shabbos, Mekach, etc. Plus, you need Gemara Malach. The Ram says you need both. So then, there are other Mishnais. The Mishnah Rishona points out, one of the Mefarshon Mishnais Ram, that there are a lot of Mishnais Samaisus are very difficult. We'll feed the Rambam. A lot of Mishnayos and Maisos sound like once you have any Dvar Makovim, you're chayiv even outside. Mishnayos said, you're sitting in the field and you picked olives and then you salted them, so now you can't eat aroi. It sounds like you're still outside. So a lot of Mishnayos are difficult to feed the Rambam. Again, the Rambam says you need Riyas Pnei Abayis or some other Koveya plus Gemara Malacha. But this Gemara actually, this Gemara works very nicely. Because the Rambam says you need other things plus Riyas Pnei Abayis. The Rambam says there's no way around Riyas Pnei Abayis to have a full chiyuv. So then our Gemara is very straightforward. It doesn't matter how they processed it. If you bring it through the front door of the house, you're going to be fully... If you don't bring it through the front door of the house, you're not going to be fully chayv. The Rambam would say our Gemara is talking about a case where there was also Gemara Malacha, either beforehand or once you're in the house. The Rambam, again, the Rambam's position is that Gemar Malacha is absolutely necessary. You need Gemar Malacha plus something else, not Gemar Malacha or something else. You need Gemar Malacha plus something else. So even if Gemar Malacha was already done, so Gemar Malacha is necessary and it's also not sufficient. Gemar Malacha alone doesn't make you fully chayav. Rambam says you need Gemar Malacha plus something else. So that's why the Riyas Pnei Abayis also is going to be crucial. Even if Gemara Malacha was done, it's not, Gemara Malacha alone is not adequate. You're going to need the Riyas Pnei Abayis as well. So if you do Riyas Pnei Abayis, you're chayiv. And if you don't, so then you're still allowed to have a Chilas Aroi, according to Rambam. So we understand the Gemara. Okay, so that was the halakha. So yesterday, you want to step back and then step forward. Stepping back was to understand the dinim, the basic dinim, the klalim of Maestros, that underpinned the Gemara. But now that we appreciate the Gemara, so now you have to ask yourself, why is this here? We've already noticed, just over the first blot of Ketz Mevarchim, that there's a tremendous density of Zerayim. You wonder why Brachas is in Zerayim. So they're actually, aside, we usually think of Brachas, Zerayim, like no Kesher, no Shaychus. Why is Brachas in Zerayim? The truth is, the Kriyashma and Tefillah don't seem like they belong in Zerayim. But But kitz mevarchin, in many ways, as we've already seen in conceptual ways, also, there is a lot of overlap. Even the ha'etz ha'dama may correspond to arla and so on and so forth. There is a lot of zrayim and kitz mevarchin are both have a lot to do with thinking about the halachas that govern plant food. But you still wonder, why is this gemara here? So why is this gemara here? And what's it telling me? So what would you say, why did the gemara suddenly schlep in? We were talking before about Birkas HaPeres, and then we got into the discussion of Torah and Parnasa, Torah and Melacha, and we're about to come back to Birkas HaPeres, but first we take a stop to talk about this Doros Rishon, Doros Acharon. So, Taka, how did we get here? What would you say?
Stephen, right before, was talking about Doros Rishon, and we're putting Torah San Keva and Melacha on Arai versus Doros Acharon, doing it the other way around. So once we're talking about Doros Rishon versus Doros Acharon and the differences, then we kind of...
Good, yeah.
Maybe we're going back to the idea, like by Shahakal, that we're supposed to settle for like what you can get away with versus what.
Ah, okay, good. You're gonna say something similar.
We were saying like brachos in general. It's kind of we said like smart. It's not like del raisa. You have a way to get around it.
So I think I might have mentioned to you. They say the name of Cook. I don't know if this is in writing anywhere. Say in the name of Rav Kook, that just as when you look at the halachic sugyas in the Masechta, the bulk of them have to do with the topic of the Masechta. Right? Most Gemaras in Erevin will have to do with Erevin. Most Gemaras in Pesachim will have to do with Pesach. Here and there you'll have sugyas that are not directly Pesach related. They come in tangentially. But most of the halachic sugyas in Bava Kamma are about Nezek. So Rav Kook is supposed to have said that's true for the Agada as well. That most of the Agada in the Masechta relates to the theme, the Agadic theme of the halachic topic of the Masechta. You certainly see it in Brachas, the beginning of Brachas for sure. A lot of the Agada, first parak is for those who are started working on the first parak is chock full of Agadatas, a disproportionate number of which have to do with Ikari Amuna. And Ikari Amuna obviously is the theme of Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is a mitzvah to speak about Ikari Amuna. That's what Kriya Shema is. A mitzvah twice a day, to articulate, every day, every night. You have to articulate some of the karma of our religion. So it's not surprising that in the first bag of brachas, you're going to see discussions about Tzadik Viralo, and you're going to see discussions about the relation of Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Like it, once you see that, it fits. So we had discussed in the previous Gemara, the Torah Melacha, that there is a certain thematic connection to the Hashem Aretz Meloa and Aretz Nosan Levnei Adam, that Birkas HaPeiros, now the Gemara Sal Pidin, that Birkas HaPeiros had meant to, you need to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master of the universe in order to be allowed to share in the bounty. So that was reflected in the Torah Parnassus Sugya in terms of the blend of Bitachon and Hishtadlus, and recognizing the Hishtadlus is not at all a stira to bitachon, any more than eating the fruits of Olam Hazeh is a stira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Memshala. I recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's a Moshel, and that gives me the right to eat with that recognition. So that was true in Torah Panasya. That may be part of what's going on here as well. As you were saying in terms of you're saying it's a different theme, which is Shahabai. Another theme that came up in the opening sugya was the mitzvah matir, that I could get away minimally with Shahakal, but it's wrong of me. I'm not allowed to settle for just that. I'm supposed to do the mitzvah properly, which means saying the bracha mufretah. There's certainly something that's going on here as well. We're going to come to that in a moment. You'd also point out, and it's certainly true, Pinchas, that the most obvious flow is flowing off of the previous Gemara, both in terms of the style of comparing Doros HaRishon with Doros HaChronim. Those who remember the Chazon in the third parak, remember that had come up also with a slightly different nusach, the Bayin Rav Papa. And here it's even the same set of names. Both of these memories are Rav Barachana, Amr Rav Yochanan, Meshum, Yehuda Bar Eloi, that chain of three names, saying Shloka Doros Rishonim Doros Achronim. Yeah. Now, but when you think about So whether the connection is thematic or the connection is sort of the formula, the three names and the formula they're using, the nusach that they're using, when you think about the content of what Rabbi Yehuda is trying to tell us, The point he's trying to make is presumably not just a historical point. The point he's trying to make is as you were saying, Eitan, is are you striving? Are you striving or not? And it's reflected in, I don't know how many of you had a chance to see the Gemara in Menachos? Okay, fantastic. So you want to take and hand her in so we can look inside. Show you.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at a pair of Gemara to deal. This is actually a very, very broad and far-ranging halachic issue. And let me ask you the following question. What the Gemara here really is saying is, right, you shouldn't sell for a shahakla if you can make an Eitzah Adama. And in somewhat parallel fashion, I have to figure out if it's fully, thank you, if it's fully parallel or not. So the Doros Achronim figured out a way to weasel out, essentially, of the Chi of Meiser. By going through the back door, so the Chi of Maisa would never formally be Chal, because they avoided Riyas Pnei Bais. Again, Ritva Rambam, we talk about with Gemara Malach, without Gemara Malach, whatever the halachic details, that's what they were attempting to do. So let me ask you a question. Is there something that Jews do in an organized fashion, that from Jews do in an organized fashion annually, that seems to smack of the Doros Achronim style?
Lulav.
What? Lulav.
I just spit ball.
I'm sorry?
I just said the first thing that came to my
mind. Ah, okay. Yeah. Mechiras Chametz. Mechiras Chametz. Right, what are we doing? It's Pasuk in the Chumash. Pasuk in the Chumash says you're supposed to destroy your Chametz. Be your Chametz in the midst of the Raisa. Tashbis is our Rivotechem. And Isra the Raisa against only Chametz on Pesach. Bali Ra, Bali Matse. And Pashup Shad is. That means whatever chametz you have in the house, either whatever you don't eat up by the morning of Erev Pesach, you take it out back, you light up the fire in the backyard, and you throw it in. But we don't do that. We sell chametz by the hundreds or thousands, sometimes even tens of thousands of dollars, all over the world to Nachrim, and then buy back after. So technically, I did know it over the course of Pesach. But come on, meaning, and there are rabbanim who even, there are some rabbanim who will even, you know, you have a 50, 100, 500, whatever it is, families in your shul authorized you to, as their rav, to be their agent. You don't sell your chametz to the rabbi. Obviously, the rabbi is Jewish too. He doesn't want to own chametz or Pesach either. You're not selling your chametz to the rabbi. What you're doing is you're authorizing him to serve as your seller's agent, to be your shliach, your morsha, to sell your chametz on your behalf to John Brown, to the Nachman, and then to buy it back after Pesach, if the Nachman is interested. The Nachman can keep it and pay the full purchase price, because usually it's structured as a pruta per purchase for a transaction is due now, and the second installment, the balance is the second installment, which is due in 10 days. That's usually the way the transaction is structured. And in less than 10 days, then the Pesach. And then the Rav or his designee will meet with the Nachri, and he has a choice. Do you want to sell? I'm glad to sell back. I'm glad to buy back. Or I'm glad to leave the sale as is, and you owe the full purchase price. So it's a fair market value of all that chametz, which is, if you're dealing with a large amount of chametz, it's going to be in the millions of dollars. So Rabbi Willig, it was, has been machbit over the years to always find a Nachri with whom to have this transaction. A Nachri who, number one, understands transactions. You know, throughout over the years, I knew Willig, and there are 40, 50 rabbis in the New York area who sell their chametz, their kehilas chametz, together with Rai Willig under his aegis. He's always found real estate brokers who, number one, understand acquisitions well, and number two, for whom the dollar amounts that we're talking about, the fair market value of the chametz is, may not be an investment they would choose to make, but certainly is a price that they could, if they needed to, pay. So it's a reasonable, it's a more reasonable sale. But acharei kechlosak, and there are rabbanim who, other rabbanim I know of, who will, over the course of Chol Moed, choose at random one of the that they go walk over to the Nachri on Erech HaMoed. The Nachri will choose a random one of the slips of paper, one of the deeds of sale, and they'll go knock on that fellow's door, and the Nachri will help himself to Cheerios or liquor or whatever it is that he finds that he's interested in. Obviously, when Pesach is over, he's going to be paying the full purchase price of whatever it is that he helps himself to. So that serves to also make it a little more realistic. But acharei kechos hakol lamasa, what are we doing? We're avoiding the normal dinim of Pesach by selling to the Nachri, and the understanding is that the 99.9% chance he's going to want to sell it back after Pesach. So the mechiras chametz, which is practiced by shomrei Torah mitzvahs around the world, sounds to be in direct violation of this theme of the Gemara. And it's not only a Gemara in Brachas, it's also, I see from you, a Gemara Menachas. This is a somewhat famous Gemara. You might not have seen it inside, if you didn't see it this morning, but you've no doubt heard of it. The Gemara tells, the Gemara, it's in the middle of the Tzitzis Sugyas, the most of Tzitzis Sugyas in the Bavli, at the beginning of the fourth parak of Menachas, which is aptly enough named Parak HaTcheles. And the Gemara there is discussing one of the major lumdasha issues in Hilchot Tzitzis, is it a chovas gavra or a chovas mana? Is it a chiv on the person or a chiv on the beged? Which, at least loosely speaking, I don't want to get too much into the sugya right now, there is, if I, at least a part of that is if I'm not even wearing the garment. It's just in the closet. Do I have to put tzitzis on, or it's only when I'm wearing it? It's only when I choose to wear it. And they also have to do, okay, so within that context, the Gemara tells the following story. The story of an Amora and a Malach, Rav Katena, an Amora whose name we don't hear that often, but apparently was a person of great, great measure. If the Gemara records the conversation he had with the Malach, although the Malach was giving him Musar, but still, it should be on the Madrega that we get Musar from Malachim. Halavai, halavai, halavai. So the Gemara here says, the Malacha Ashkeche, the Rav Katena, the Michsi Sadina, in the middle of the Malcha, Malcha, Malcha. Malch finds Rav Katena, he's wearing a Sadin. What's a Sadin? What's a Sadin? So a Sadin is a type of garment that's putter from tzitzis. Either Rashi says, we're talking about, it was a blanket, it was a ksus laila, it was something meant for sleeping, that's why it wasn't chayv in tzitzis. Or elsewhere, they can already use the term sadin, but tzitzis, to mean a linen garment. Linen garments mean hatorah ought to be chayv in tzitzis. The Gemara explains why midrabanan, they said that it's better not to put tzitzis on a sadin. So whatever it is, he's wearing a baged, which was, he figured out a way to find something to wear that would be patur from tzitzis. So they say this. So the Malach says, Katena, Katena, Katena. We call him Rav Katena, but the Malach didn't feel the need to call him Rav Katena. He's called him Katena. Sadina Bekaita, Sarbala Besisva. In the summertime, the Kayet, Sadi in Hebrew will sometimes show up as a test in Aramaic. So Kaita is Kayet. You wear a Sadin in the summertime, and you wear a Sarbala in the wintertime, or in the spring when it's cooler. Rashi explains, a sarbal is a type of garment that has rounded corners. Because the corners are rounded, there's no chiyuv tzitzis. So it says, tzitzis shotcheles, matela. You're never wearing tzitzis. What's with you? So amarle, an shiso ase. Well, you're going to give me an onesh because I'm violating a mitzvah ase? So it says, yeah. The Malach says, bezman de'ik rizcha an shinon. If there's a... The would normally give an onesh, but if it's at a time when there's a great charon af in Shamayim, which unfortunately has a present resonance, so then yeah, then you will get the nenash for the essay. And Baruch Hashem, Einam Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im Heim, Klal Yisrael had the intuition that now is the time to throw ourselves more as a nation into wearing tzitzis. That's what the Gemara says. The idna derischa, the zacharonaf, could be nanash, we're not wearing tzitzis. We're doing an even better job as a nation than normally of wearing tzitzis. So what the Gemara says, I don't understand. If it's a chovas gavra, so I understand the issue. Bishlam a chovas gavra. You might be wondering already, by the way. You might be troubled. Rav Katena said something that sounds very strange. He said, "What, you give an onus for a mitzvah sasei? Is that surprising?" I mean, yeah, Jews are supposed to keep mitzvah sasei and mitzvah lo sasei. Well, was he surprised that if you ate a meal you didn't bench that they would get a punishment in shamayim? Was he surprised if a Jew decides not to wear tefillin or not to say kriyas shema? If a Jew decides not to give tzedakah, an ani comes knocking and you ignore him? Why is that so surprising that she so asay? Okay, the Gemara goes a different route. The Gemara asks. The Gemara says, "I understand. How do you understand this conversation? If it's a chovas gaver, if it's a chiv on the person, hainu demechayev the lo karamis, then he's not wearing the tzitzis. But if it's a chovas talis, if it's a chiv on the beged, halomechayev the beged isn't chayev." The Gemara says, "I don't understand what you're saying. If it's a chovas gaver, if it's a chiv on the person, nehid dechayev rachmanek he michsi talis de bas chiyuda." Even a chovas gavra means when you're wearing a beged that is structured in such a way that has arba kanfas, it's chayv and tzitzis. But ki michsi talos lav bas chiyuvi mi chayv rachmana. But chovas gavra, chovas talos, it doesn't really matter. Even if it's a chovas gavra, that means you're chayv to wear tzitzis if you're wearing a garment that is chayv and tzitzis. But he wasn't doing that. So what's underlying this conversation? So the Gemara says, no. What's really going on here? Hachi karmale. Of course he's not fundamentally doing anything wrong. He's not in violation of the mitzvah say. Whether you hold chovas gavra, chovas talis, the Gemara says it's irrelevant. I mean, there are other nafkaminas. But it's irrelevant here. If you sort of it, if you arrange to only wear garments that are pater from tzitzis, so then you're not in violation. You're not being mevatel of the mitzvah tzitzis. However, you're not in violation. The hachikar merle tatzdiki lemifta nafshach mitzitzis. You found a, as Rashi says, a tachbula. You found a trick. Or as the Rabbeinu Gershom says, a harama ka'avdis. You have a workaround. You have a hack. You have a legal fiction. I mean, it's legal, but it's a fiction. You figure out a way, a legal fiction. You figure out a way, fiction.
Stuff that's made up.
Well,
it's a legal fiction.
Right, it's an interesting term, right? So, in other words, you found a hack. The normal thing to do would be to wear the sort of garment that would be chayv and tzitzis. And here, you figure out a backdoor way. I'm going to rig it to wear a garment that has rounded corners, and that way I'm not chayv and tzitzis. So the Gemara explains that was the issue. That's what the Malach was saying to him. It's true you're not violating the halacha, but you're going out of your way to avoid doing the right thing. As a matter of fact, Tosva says that's what was going on earlier. On Shiso Asay, why was Katena surprised? Why are you surprised? Of course we give an onesh, Min Shamayim to give an onesh. If you violate an essay, I said no. And she said, "I say ki hai." This Tosa says this type of essay. She'ein adam chayiv liknos talos hamechuyiv imein lo. You're not mechuyiv. There's no chiyiv to go and dafka buy a four corner garment. I can go and buy a three corner garment. I can go buy a rounded corner garment. I say gamur. It says, but if it's an actual full asay, asay gamur, feel based on shalomata imakano sacha teitzei nafsho. Not only min hashamayim they'll be manish you for violating a mitzvah asay, a normal mitzvah asay, even down here terrestrially, the human basin will also take action to enforce mitzvah asay. So Tosis is explaining that essentially that what the Gemara said at the end, it was already part of the original conversation of Katena and the Malach. The Rambam, in the last paragraph of Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Alef, I think it's Halacha Beis, develops the terminology of a mitzvah harashus. What's a mitzvah harashus? He says, mitzvah harashus doesn't mean it's optional, but it means it's contingent. Rambam says, most mitzvah is not mitzvah harashus. If you're a Jewish man, and it's not Shabbos Yantif, you're mechayev to atone. That's the end of the story. If it's Pesach, and you're a Jewish man or woman, you're mechayev to eat matzah. So, that's an absolute chiyuv. An absolute chiyuv. Whenever the conditions are right, you're absolutely chayav. That's a normal chova. Rambam says, but every once in a while you come across a mitzvah that's a mitzvah sarashus, meaning I can choose whether or not to enter into the chiyav. So what's an example? So the Rambam says, I could choose to live in a house that's chayav mezuzah. I could choose to live in a house that's built in a way that's not chayav mezuzah. Rambam says, if I live my life on a boat, I live my life in a tent, I'm not chayav mezuzah. If I decide to sleep on a park bench, I'm not chayav mezuzah. I don't recommend sleeping on a park bench, obviously. I recommend finding yourself a decent house to live in. But I have the capacity. It's a contingent mitzvah. It depends on factors that I get to choose. Or here's another example. The mitzvah d'oraisa biyomo titin tzcharo. Mitzvah d'oraisa that if you have to pay your workers on time. Mitzvah d'oraisa to pay your workers their salary on the day that it's due. It might not be due every day, but however it's structured. But however it's structured, I have to pay daily, weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, whatever it is. But whenever the due date is for paying my employee's salary, mitzvah d'oraisa to pay it on that day. Not to wait until the night, not to wait until the next day. Biyomo titin tzcharo. Is that a chova? Well, that's a mitzvah sarashus. Why? I chose to hire workers. I didn't have to choose to hire workers. I could have chosen to just do my work myself. I didn't have to hire a cab. I could have just walked. But instead, I could have driven myself. But instead, I decided to hire a cab. Okay, so you decide to hire a worker. It's a mitzvah sarashus. Or the Gemara is saying here, tzitzis. That's essentially the Gemara is saying here. Tzitzis is also a mitzvah sarashus. I opt to wear the sort of beged that's, I opt to wear four-cornered garments. I could also opt not to wear four-cornered garments. I could opt to choose clothing that we put to from tzitzis. And the Gemara says, when you have a mitzvah sarashus, when you have a mitzvah sarashus, so the idda derischa, if I choose to be putter, now the Rishonim in Menachas point out, Hilchot Tzitzis, they point out that that might be specifically when it's a little abnormal to be pater. As the Baitosis point out, that B'tkufas HaTalmud, everyone wore four-cornered garments. Everyone wore togas, or whatever it is that they were wearing. Four-cornered garments were standard. You're going to go out of your way, stand on your head to round the corners, so you're going out of your way to be pater, that's really in the derisa. But they go on to say, so that's a debate. How would you look at tzitzis bismanazah? But even those Baal Tosfos who take their approach, they say, but obviously there's great value, and that's what we advocate, is to go out of your way to be mischayev. Even though I'm wearing an undershirt and I'm wearing a shirt anyways, I go out of my way to make sure to also wear a four-cornered garment, and that way I'll have a chiyev of tzitzis. Now you look back at Mechiras Chametz. And you look back at our Gemara. Our Gemara is saying the normal thing to do is to take it in the normal way. So you're going out of your way, davka, to take it in derech gavas, derech chatzeres, derech chatzeres. That's bein derischa, bein derischa. So how do you make sense of mechiras chametz? What's talk of the pshat? Isn't that the normal thing to do? It's not normal to like sell all the food in your house to someone and buy it back a week later. The normal thing to do was you have food in your house, it stays in your house, and you eat it. You share it with other people. You give it away, whatever it is. But the Mechiras Chametz seems like a Doros Achronim. Yeah. So I want to, I know some hands just want to move a little further, so I want to be sensitive to time. I take a look at one other Gemara. The Gemara in Becharos, we've talked about another Gemara. Gemara in Becharos, that Gemara, how many people saw the Gemara in Becharos? Okay, not bad. So you saw, the Gemara talks about the following. There is a din in the Chumash. It already appears in Parshas Bo, then it recurs again later in Chumash. There are several dinim of Bechor. The din of Bechor for human beings, that's a din of Pinyan Ben. The din of Bechor by one particular species of non-kosher animal, and that is Pinyan Petach Amar, very unique and fascinating din. And there's a din of Bechor by Behema Tahora. If I own a kosher domesticated land animal, I own a cow, I own a sheep, I own a goat, if she gives birth to her firstborn is male, she has a Bechor, so then that Bechor has Kedusha. Bechor Behema Tahora becomes a carbon. That's what the Torah tells us in multiple places. Bechor Behema Tahora becomes a carbon. It's the one time that an animal gets Kedusha of a carbon without a human being needing to designate it. Usually, You know, your guy walks into his barn and says, ah, this goat is going to be an Ola. Ah, this sheep is going to be a Pesach. This animal is going to be, this goat is going to be a Chatas, whatever it is. Usually Kedusha, the animal gets Kedusha through human designation. You need Kiddush Peh. The one time that Kedusha comes automatically to an animal is Bechor. The mother gives birth to its to a male firstborn. So the very event of birth itself automatically is Mekadosh the animal. So the Gemara tells a whole story on Daf Gimel and Beis. The Mishnayos talk about that Bechor, the first mission, the first parak, the first mission, the second parak of Bechoros, talk about the fact that the dinim of Bechorah only apply if the mother and the fetus are owned by Jews. But if either the mother or the fetus are owned by Nachrim, fully owned by Nachrim, or significantly owned by Nachrim, so then there is no din of there's no kedusha that's chal on the bechor. If at the moment of birth there was a significant non-Jewish stake in the equity, non-Jewish stake in the ownership. So the Gemara tells a story here on Gimel Amud Beis of Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Rav Mari Bar Rachel, he had sold part of the animal to the Nachri before it gave birth, and the Gemara says he was taken to task for that. Kalu Chevasa, he was punishment Hashamayim, he had unusual losses to his herd. And the punishment for that. Right? So we look at it, we say, okay, that's consistent with what we saw in Menachos, consistent with what we saw in Brachos. You have an animal, it's a Beim of Akeres, so you're going out of your way to sell it to Mechiras, not Mechiras Hametz, Mechiras Mevakeres, sell it to Nachri. So he was punished for that. Tosfos, though, here you have the Tosfos in front of you. Tosfos says, one second, a long, long Tosfos. Look at the first line.
What does the Gemara say?
The Gemara says that that Rav Mari Bar Rachel, the Amor of Mari Bar Rachel, was punished, Min HaShamayim, because he sold his Behemah Mevakeres to part of the Behem Vakaris to a Nachri in advance of the birth so that the baby wouldn't be a Bechor, wouldn't have Kedusha's Bechor. So he went out of his way to avoid the din, so he was punished for that. So Tosfos says, hey, one second, we all do that. The very first line and a half of this long Tosfos. Masha Einas Har Nachshav. We're not careful about this. Athlisha Nenesh Rav Mari. Rav Mari was punished, but we all do this. Any Jewish farmer, Tosfos says, any Jewish farmer who owns kosher animals, again, it's not an issue if you just own horses, but if you own cows, you own sheep, you own goats, so that's what we all do. That's what we all tell our Baal Batim to do. I actually had a conversation like that once with a Jew who owns a herd of goats. I told him, we were talking about this. He had a mevakeres, and we had to talk about how to sell it. It's actually not so posh. It's interesting. A lot of the buffets, figuring out how to do a king daraisa on an animal, make sure that the Nachri owned a stake in it, min HaTorah. So that's what's recommended. What do you mean? The Gemara says it's terrible. The Gemara says Mar Bar Rachel was punished. So Tosfos has a few answers. And my father-in-law in Bikvat Tzon, beginning of Simen Ches, in Bikvat Tzon points to one answer in particular. Tosfos says, we're short on time. Inami Tosfos says the following. Tosfos essentially makes the following point. Tosfos says, if you live in the days of Beis HaMikdash, I'll simplify Tosfos somewhat. If you live in the days of Beis HaMikdash, so it's wrong to avoid Kedushas Bechorah. If you live in the days of Beis HaMikdash, when you have the opportunity to do the mitzvah of Hakravas Bechor, so to avoid that mitzvah is wrong. You're being doing a harama to avoid a mitzvah. However, bizman hazeh, we have no access to the mitzvah. Hey, bana beis hamikdash, b'ntilav beis hamikdash, we have no opportunity makriv bechor. The only thing we have opportunity to do is to violate. The only opportunity you'll have if you allow this bechor to be born is a possible violation of a lav, an iser of meila. Because until it gets a mum, you're not allowed to have any hanah from the animal whatsoever. And there may be, you're not allowed to give it a mum, so it may be years. So all you're doing to harama to avoid a mitzvah say, to avoid the opportunity, that's problematic. Harama to avoid, to merely to avoid a lav, that is legitimate. Tomorrow we'll take that Tosus and Becharos, plug it back into our Gemara, and wrap it up as well with the Brisker Torah about a Pasuk in Malachi, which pulls the whole sugya together in a very, very beautiful fashion.